If we could all open our Bibles this afternoon to Proverbs chapter 13. We'll also be going very quickly to chapter 28, so you might want to have that at the ready. Proverbs chapter 13. We read in verse 20 of Proverbs 13. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I have a relatively short message today, but I believe I can say without exaggeration that it may well be one of the most important messages that some will ever hear. And the message is about wisdom, but it's also about foolishness. It's about the great rewards of choosing to be wise versus the devastating consequences of rejecting wisdom. And in fact, of the literal destruction that awaits all those scorners who despise reproof and who therefore choose foolishness instead of wisdom. As the proverb here says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Read another important on-point verse at Proverbs 28, verse 9, that says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, meaning from hearing God's word, even his prayer shall be abomination. That verse says that God regards as abominable even the prayers of those who don't care what he says. So today, if you don't care what God's word says, I'd warn you that God will not hear you when you cry out to him. And to that I want to add today that in looking around the room, I can always tell who will not hear. Who does they have turned their ears from hearing God's word? Because those who have turned their ears from hearing also turn their eyes from watching the preacher, from looking at the preacher. Or they stare at the floor, the back of the chair in front of them while I'm preaching. So I'd ask every teenager here today, everyone here today, if I could please have your eyes and your ears today as I'm preaching. This message will be extremely crucial for young people here today to listen closely to. It's also a message that we can all apply in our lives because we can all, at times, make conscious and very foolish decisions that can cost us dearly. We can all reject what we know to be God's wisdom, and we can choose our own way instead, which at times can lead to very disastrous consequences. Back to Proverbs 13:20. The first phrase here in this verse, at Proverbs 13, verse 20, says, he that walketh with wise men. First phrase there, he that walketh with wise men. This obviously has to do with choosing the right company and the right friends to associate with. But much more than that, it means making a conscious and a determined decision to seek wisdom, to seek to be wise, and therefore to seek also the companionship of others who are doing the same. But on the other hand, we've all heard the phrase, misery loves company. Misery loves company. And so those who reject wisdom, those who seek the companionship of others who are doing the same, rejecting wisdom, they will therefore come to destruction, as Proverbs says. They end up being destroyed, and their lives end in ruin. We read in chapter 3 of this book of Proverbs that above all worldly wealth, the most valuable commodity to obtain in this world is wisdom. Amen. Proverbs 3, verse 13, we read, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her, unto wisdom. Wisdom personified there. This verse says, above all worldly wealth, the most valuable commodity to obtain in this world is wisdom. I think one of the most ironic or enigmatic truths of this life is that we all have to make some of the most important decisions of our lives at a time when we are at the most foolish stage of our lives, that being in our teen years, as teenagers. Some of the most important decisions we have to make will be in our teen years. And that's the time when we're all at the most foolish stage of our lives. But sadly, and especially among teenagers, there are so few teenagers who see the great surpassing value of wisdom, and they choose folly instead. I would guess that for every one teenager that determines to seek wisdom, there are 1,000 who do not, and instead who follow after foolishness and ultimately after destruction. That's the way it's always been. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 13, that broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, to being destroyed. He says, and there be many which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The total absence of wisdom found in many teenagers today was vividly and dramatically displayed, illustrated just a few days ago in our longtime hometown of Brooksville. Here's a story reported by WFLA News. Headline, 16-year-old intentionally crashed into Hernando County Sheriff's Office. You guys hear that story? No. Brooksville, Florida. Hernando County Sheriff's Office arrested a teenager Friday night after he crashed into its main building after fleeing from a deputy, the release said. The Sheriff's Office release said at 10:41 p.m., a deputy spotted a Toyota RAV4 heading east on Sheriff Mylander Way with its headlights off. The deputy tried to conduct a traffic stop, but the SUV made a U-turn and headed west on Cortez Boulevard, driving through a red light at the intersection of Cortez and West Jefferson Street. I know that neighborhood very well. The deputy broke off his pursuit while the vehicle sped north on Cobb Road. Sheriff's Office said they let him go. However, the deputy was able to learn it was a rental by running the tag number. Deputies said the SUV was found, later at 11:27 p.m., about 40 minutes later, when it had crashed into the Hernando County Sheriff's Office main building in Brooksville. The Sheriff's Office said the SUV had crashed by a rear entrance on the building's west side. Deputy inside heard the wreck, went outside to investigate, found a 16-year-old boy inside the driver's seat. The teenager said he wanted to hurt himself. The deputy tried to take the 16-year-old into custody, but the teenager shoved him, 16-year-old, according to the sheriff's office. However, the deputy was able to take him into custody without any other problems afterward. The sheriff's office release said that the crash caused a total of $16,000 in damages to the building. I think about total of the SUV as well. Deputy said they found the teenager's father, who said that he and his son were staying at the New Beginnings Youth Shelter 45 minutes before the incident. According to the boy's father, the teenager got into the SUV they arrived in and drove off while they were at the shelter. The man said he did not call law enforcement because he thought his son was going to come home. The teen was detained under Baker Act custody. That's how they detained him. But he faces charges of fleeing and eluding a law enforcement officer, criminal mischief, battery on a law enforcement officer, and trespassing. Some may feel sorry for the 16-year-old. It appears he actually wanted to be arrested, actually, even after the deputy stopped chasing him, went back to crash his car in the sheriff's office. Perhaps he thought being in jail would be better than being with the father in the New Beginnings Youth Shelter. I don't know the family situation, hard telling. But he'll be in for a rude awakening if he thinks jail is going to be a better place, especially if he's tried and convicted as an adult. One day, and probably soon, he'll realize how foolish, how stupid and moronic his actions were, but he will still have to live with the consequences, and perhaps for a very long time to come. And in some ways, maybe for the rest of his life. Granted, most teenagers don't crash their cars into sheriff's offices. We know that. But many are crashing their lives, though, into brick walls in other ways, through drugs and alcohol, other types of criminal actions, all of which begins in the early teen years with rebellion against parents, which rebellion itself, in Christian homes at least, often begins with being lured into listening to the devil's music, and then it goes downhill from there, which in and of itself, by the way, listening to the wrong music, amounts to seeking the companionship of fools who hate Christ and his word. So then, knowing that we are to seek wisdom, each one of us are to seek wisdom, we should start by asking and answering the question, what is wisdom? What is wisdom? I've, of course, preached on this topic before. since so much of the Bible is really devoted to this subject. Not only are the books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes entirely devoted to the subject of wisdom, wisdom versus folly, but all through the Bible, God exhorts his children to be wise rather than foolish. The Lord Jesus taught several parables, often contrasting the wise with the foolish, such as his parable of the 10 virgins, where he contrasted 5 wise virgins with 5 foolish. In defining wisdom, we need to start by pointing out that wisdom and folly have nothing to do with intelligence or mental capacity, or even with head knowledge of basic facts. Nothing to do with head knowledge of basic facts. Very intelligent people who have a lot of head knowledge stored up can also be very foolish and do very stupid things that cost them dearly. While those who some may think lack intelligence can choose to seek wisdom, and in doing that can therefore outshine and achieve far greater success in this life than others who may be more intelligent. I have defined wisdom in messages previous as the determination to consider the consequences before taking action. Determining to consider the consequences before taking action. It is the conscious decision to look beyond the present and to do what will produce the best future. That's what teenagers need to do. Look beyond the present, beyond your present temptation and gratification, to do what will produce the best future. To pursue long-term happiness rather than immediate pleasure. Webster's Dictionary defines wisdom as follows. The right use or exercise of knowledge. The choice of laudable ends. And of the best means to accomplish them. It is the knowledge, Webster says, it is the knowledge and use of what is best, most just, most proper, most conducive to prosperity or happiness. Webster's definition makes a necessary distinction there between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge, again, being just the mental acquisition of facts, but wisdom being the conscious decision about how to use those facts in a way that will bring about the best income, best outcome. Not necessarily best income, best outcome. There's a big difference there. Sometimes the best outcome does not produce the best income.
That's right.
Good slip of the tongue there. Fit right in. In other words, it is wise to first desire to know the right and best thing to do, but then also to do it. Amen. We should all understand that the first place to turn to know the right and the best thing to do in any circumstance is God's Word, the Bible. Amen. And that's why the Bible says in Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. The fear of His consequences. The fear of His judgment. I mean fear, not just a holy awe, I mean, as some define it. Fear of God's judgment. It's the beginning of wisdom. Knowing that if I sin, God's going to judge me in the future produces wisdom. Believing God's word. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the Bible says there in Proverbs 9:10, the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Knowledge of the holy, that means the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, by the way, because he is defined as wisdom for us. So beyond distinguishing wisdom from mere knowledge, we need to go a step further. Because the Bible also distinguishes between the so-called wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. And so we read of that distinction between God's wisdom and the world's wisdom in the New Testament at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1, I should have you go ahead and turn there. 1 Corinthians 1. It's important to see this, what Paul says here. Paul distinguishes here between the wisdom of the world versus the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1, he says in verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? The Greeks, of course, were famous for their disputers and their philosophers. He says, hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Again, he's writing here to Greeks who were big time into Greek philosophy and things. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world, by its wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness, what the world sees as foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. The Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, their kind of wisdom, the world's wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, unto us, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God, personified. Paul says here that Christ himself is both the power and the wisdom of God. And so for us, to seek after wisdom is to seek Christ himself. That's very much what Solomon is also saying here in Proverbs 9, verse 10, where he said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. That's the knowledge of Jesus. Wisdom is choosing the path that ultimately leads to life and to happiness, whereas folly, foolishness, is choosing the path. Choosing the path. This is a choice that we make. Choosing the path that ultimately leads to misery, despair, and death. And again, to seek wisdom is to seek after Christ himself. Turn now to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13. Back to Proverbs 13 where we started. It began in verse 20 of this chapter, which again says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. I focus so far on the first half of that verse, covering the definition and the pursuit of wisdom. So now I want to focus on the second half of that verse. But the companion of fools shall be destroyed. The consequences of failing to pursue after wisdom. Throughout the Bible, the fool is seen as the man who rejects the wisdom of God. The man who has turned his ear from hearing God's word, and he is also headed for a destruction and a dead end. That's how the fool is seen throughout the Bible. In Proverbs alone, there are 80 verses dealing with the fool and his folly. This chapter begins in verse 1 by addressing a certain kind of fool who is also known as a scorner. Proverbs 13, verse 1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. That means he listens. He wants to listen. He wants to hear because he wants to obey. One thing to hear with your ears, but to hear with your heart is a whole other matter. A wise son heareth his father's instruction because he wants to obey it, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. But a scorner heareth not rebuke. I'm going to throw out a question today. I ask you all, who can tell me what a scorner is? Anybody tell me what a scorner is today?
A mocker.
Mocker, that's good. That's good.
Someone contrary to you.
Here's a clue. To scorn something is to detest something, to hate it, or to hold it in contempt. And in each of the 15 times a scorner is mentioned in the Bible, 13 of which are found right here in the book of Proverbs, the scorner is seen as the foolish man who hates correction or instruction, as we read here. But a scorner heareth not rebuke. He hates to be rebuked. He hates to be corrected. He's prideful and won't listen to correction. We see that in this verse, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. He won't hear instruction, correction, or rebuke because he hates it. He does precisely what we read of here in verse 13. Verse 13, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. There's that word destroyed again. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Of course, this proverb is talking about the word of God. The scorner despises the word of God, and he will therefore be destroyed, right along with the companion of fools mentioned in verse 1. They'll come to destruction. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 1. The scorner is mentioned in this chapter, chapter 1, as one who hates instruction and correction. He hates instruction and correction. Proverbs 1, verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? In our modern vernacular, King James word simple in this verse could be translated as shallow-minded, or unthinking, ignorant, one who is gullible, ignores important facts, and is easily deceived and lured into sin. But all these in this verse, the simple ones, the scorners, and the fools, they all hate knowledge. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 9. There's a characteristic of a scorner. He hates instruction and correction. Proverbs chapter 9. We'll see further that scorners hate to be corrected. In fact, they hate it so much that they lash out in anger at those who lovingly try to correct them. Proverbs 9, verse 7 says, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. Why? Because the scorner lashes back out at him. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Scorners hate correction so much they lash out at those who love them and try to correct them. Turn over to Proverbs 15. We see here again the scorner, the characteristic of the scorner here in this chapter, Proverbs 15. Read in verse 12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. Scorners hate correction. They hate those who try to correct them, even when it's done in love. Turn to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Something else that we see about scorners and fools is that they are driven and they're motivated by foolish, stubborn pride. They're motivated by pride. Proverbs 21, verse 24, we read, "Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath." Scorners, I'm not just talking about teenagers. I know a lot of scorning adults, all right? A lot of scorners who are adults. Scorners and fools are so prideful and stubborn that they become angry at the mere suggestion that they could have been wrong. They've done wrong and they need to amend their ways. They become angry just to suggest to them they need to be corrected here. I know people like that. And as a result, they become combative and contentious. They become troublemakers and they stir up strife among brethren. We've had people like that in our church before. And so, because they become troublemakers and they stir up strife and among brethren, we then also read of the scorner in Proverbs 22, verse 10. Proverbs 22:10, we read, "Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease." Why? Because the scorner will not be corrected, and he causes trouble and strife among brethren. He gets mad when people try to correct him. Causes trouble. And because of all these things, because he rejects reproof and correction, and he's prideful, and he gets mad and lashes out at people, therefore, scorners soon become loners without many friends. They become rejected of all except those who are as foolish as they are. We read in Proverbs 24, verse 9, about the scorner. That says, "The thought of foolishness is sin." Just to think, just to conceive thought of foolishness in your mind is a sin. But the scorner is an abomination to men. Why? Because he conceives foolishness all the time, I presume. The scorner is an abomination to men. These are the trademarks of fools and scorners. There are many more. We could go through many proverbs, looking at proverbs about the fools. Fools and scorners are on the same boat. Driven by stubborn pride, they think they are above correction. They hate to be corrected. They hate the word of God. They reject it. They don't want to listen to it. They become angry and full of wrath when they're corrected. Some teenagers are like this. In their absolute folly and their foolishness, they become so prideful that they dare to think themselves smarter or wiser than their parents. Maybe a lot of teenagers are like that. I don't know. A lot of teenagers think their parents are old fuddy-duddies that don't understand their generation, when in fact their parents were once teenagers too, right? Who learned from their mistakes and therefore have much wisdom to share with their teenager about what they went through, because they're going through the same things. The scorner won't hear instruction, correction, or rebuke because he hates it. He's heard it over and over and over, and perhaps he's already rejected it to the point where he now hates it. So because he scorns God's word, we read in Proverbs 3, that the scorner will himself be scorned by God. He'll become hated and rejected by God himself. Proverbs 3, verse 34 says, "Surely he, the Lord, scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace to the lowly." James quoted the second half of that verse. He gives grace to the humble. Scorners may prosper for a time, but they'll be scorned by God and they will be rejected by him and they will be judged. Their judgment is coming. And that's what we read in Proverbs 19, verse 29. A lot of verses we're covering here. Proverbs 19, verse 29 says, "Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. Their day is coming. They're going to be judged. Turn to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. As we read up front in Proverbs 13, verse 20, hard-hearted scorners who refuse to repent will one day, and maybe sooner than they think, be destroyed. They'll face destruction. By definition, the scorner does precisely what we read of here in Proverbs 29 and in verse 1, where it says, "Who being often reproved, hardeneth his neck," that verse says. He's moved beyond being just ignorant to becoming stubborn and rebellious. But this verse also describes the reward of his folly. Proverbs 29, verse 1. "He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck." He doesn't want to hear any more correction. Hardens his neck against against reproof. What happens to him? "He shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." That's a scary verse. The scorner is the fool that rejects reproof and correction and is therefore headed for a brick wall. Might not be the block wall of the sheriff's office, but he's headed for a brick wall. "He shall be suddenly destroyed," the Bible says. And that without remedy. He may not be able to find repentance. Those are some of the most hopeless words in the Bible, may I say. Those words, "that without remedy." I think those are some of the most hopeless words in the Bible. It doesn't say he's headed for a fall, but he'll get back up again. It says he shall be suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. Like teenagers who get drunk and die in car wrecks. Suddenly destroyed without remedy, and probably on their way to hell. The scorner hates God's word. He has rejected it over and over. And he has been turned over to his sin and to his reprobate mind. And that is a very scary place to be. It's a very dangerous thing to rebel against the Word of God. The Bible teaches that when a man rejects the light, God sends darkness. When he rejects the truth of God's Word, a man rejects the light, the truth of God's Word, then God sends that man into deeper darkness. That is the crucial truth the Lord Jesus taught in his parable of the seed and the sower. That's what he meant when he summarized that parable by saying in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, Jesus said, "Take heed therefore how ye hear," meaning how you hear the word of God. In that parable, the seed is the word of God, Jesus said. And then in summing up that parable, he said, "Take heed how you hear the word of God. For whosoever hath," Jesus said, meaning ears to hear, "whoever has ears to hear, to him shall be given." I'll be given more truth. If you receive the light, God sends more truth. But then Jesus said, "Whoever hath not," whosoever hath not ears to hear, "from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." That means, in other words, it's a very dangerous thing to reject one word out of God's word, the Bible. It means that when a man rejects the light, the truth of God's word, then God sends that man darkness. At first he begins to withdraw the light, perhaps a revelation and understanding of truth that man did once have. And if that scorner's folly continues unabated, the Lord may even send that man into deception. May even send him deception. As we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, of those who have no love of God's word, it says, "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion."
That's right.
God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, that pleasure in unrighteousness. It is a very dangerous thing to reject one word out of God's word, the Bible.
Amen.
And that, by the way, also includes the admonitions, many admonitions in God's word for teenagers to honor and to obey their parents. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. I'm close to closing here. Lord Jesus closed his great Sermon on the Mount with this word of warning in Matthew 7. Matthew 7 verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Jesus is saying here, just because somebody says I'm their Lord, just they call Jesus Lord. Maybe they've even preached in his name. They've cast out devils and they've healed in his name, supposedly. He'll say to them one day, I never knew you. They weren't truly saved. A lot of people are on this boat. They think they're saved and they're not. He's going to say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now, to close this great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus then has another comparison here, comparing the wise man with the fool. Closes this with a comparison between wisdom and folly. He says in verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Wise man, listen to Jesus. Liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Founded upon a rock. Of course, that rock is Jesus. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26. And everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Fools will be destroyed. Fools that refuse to listen to Jesus will be destroyed. Most teenagers don't crash their cars into sheriff's offices. But many today are crashing their lives into brick walls in other ways. And that all begins with, in the early teen years, with rebellion against their parents. Amen. We read earlier that above all, worldly wealth, the most valuable commodity to have in this world is wisdom. Amen. But again, very sadly, and especially among teenagers, there are so few who see the great value, the great surpassing value of wisdom. And most teenagers choose folly instead. I cannot make anyone listen to this message with open ears. All I can do is preach it and put it out there for the one who wants to be wise. And I can also close the message like Jesus did with a word of warning. This one is from Deuteronomy chapter 30, where Moses said to the children of Israel, Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. God said through Moses, therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. God said, I'm setting before you life and death. Please choose life. Wisdom or folly is a choice. Every time you choose to sin, it's a choice. You need to choose wisdom at a young age so you can be blessed throughout your life. The Bible says over and over again that fools and scorners who reject God's word will be destroyed, and sometimes without remedy. I could recite heartbreaking stories of some young people I know very well that were raised in Christian homes, raised under the King James Bible, but who rejected the message for a time in their teens, went off into sin and into addictions, and came very close to destroying themselves. And who live today with shame and regret and consequences that will follow them the rest of their lives, for which there's no remedy. They just have to live with it. And perhaps that might convince some of you to repent of the rebellion that you're now on the edge of. However, I'm not going to recite those stories. I'm just going to put God's word out there and let it do its work. Just believe what God's word says, that the fool will come to destruction. Don't test it. Find out for yourself. God's word never returns to him void. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Again, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22, that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ himself is both the power and the wisdom of God. And so for us to seek wisdom is to seek Christ himself. But fools and scorners hate wisdom, and therefore they ultimately hate Christ himself. They scorn the sacrifice and the salvation that he offers them. And therefore they shall be destroyed, and that without remedy. they will have well earned the destruction of the brick wall that awaits them, unless they repent of their foolish pride and determine to seek Christ and His wisdom. Amen. But if they will do that, then as we read in Proverbs 3, verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. The merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Wisdom is the principal thing that we all need to get. Above all worldly wealth, the most valuable commodity to obtain in this world is wisdom. Amen. And therefore, the man who wants to be truly wise will say, I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world has to offer. And after a closing prayer, we'll sing that hymn.